Good morning, everyone. Today we'll be reading Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. If you have a Bible at the back, it's page 1818. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
Well, good morning again, everyone. My name is Hendre. I'm one of the pastoral staff here at Trinity Church Lockleys, and it's so great to have you here with us. Now, I wonder if you've ever wished that God would just tell you what to do. Maybe it's choosing your subjects at school, deciding what job to take, where to live, a big family decision that feels overwhelming. In moments like that, it can be really tempting to just want God to tell us what to do. We want certainty. A text message would be great. A voice from heaven would be even better. But that's why we're doing this series, right? We're thinking through how God guides us as his people. And so I thought I'd bring through some popular guidance-seeking tools. If I can find them in my bag. Now, the first one, I don't have a large one, so you're going to need to put your binoculars on. But I've got a magic eight ball in a Hot Wheels version. Now, this has told me I can buy a new car, but it's not yet told me how to pay for it. Or there's the good old classic coin toss method. Heads for yes, tails for no. The fortune tellers of many playgrounds. They've told you who you're going to marry, what job you're going to have, just how rich you're going to be. And you can find out your fortune after. Or, more biblical, a sheep's voice. It worked for Gideon. Maybe it will work for us. Now, we're laughing, which is fine and right. But the reality is that I think as Christians, we often look to things like these for our guidance. We look for signs, we look for a feeling, we look for an inner prompting or voice. Or we look at our circumstances and try to read into them and what God might be trying to say to us. But the question is, how does God actually guide his people? We saw in the first week of this series that God is guiding the world, that he is sovereign, and that he's leading history towards his purposes in Christ. And we've seen that there isn't some secret plan A and then the disastrous plan B that we end up at when we mess up. God is at work in all things to accomplish his purposes. But I think that raises another question for us, that if God is guiding us, how on earth do we hear him? Does God still speak? And if he does, where do we look to find his voice? And so this morning, we're going to see three things together. We're going to see, firstly, that God has always spoken. We're going to see that God has spoken fully in Jesus. And we'll see that God speaks through Scripture today. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to read your word together this morning. We pray that you would help us through your word and through your spirit to make sense of who you are and how you speak to us. And that would bring us great comfort and joy as we head into our weeks, into our lives, knowing that you are a God who speaks. Amen. Okay, so point one, God has always spoken. As we think about how God guides us, the first things this passage in Hebrews we read wants us to know is that God has actually always been a God who speaks. Let's read verse 1 again. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. God speaks. Now, that might not sound like a particularly remarkable thing, but it tells us something profound about God, that the God of the Bible is not silent. He's not distant. He's not detached from his creation. He's not uninterested in being known. Rather, from the very beginning, we discover that God is a God who reveals himself. Before there were prophets, before there was Israel, before there was even sin, God was speaking. The very first words recorded in Scripture are God's words. Let there be light. God creates by speaking. Then in the garden, he speaks to Adam and Eve. He tells them who he is, who they are, why they are there, and how they are to live. Now, communication in the Bible isn't just some emergency measure where God shows up when things go wrong, but God speaks because that's the kind of God he is. He delights in making himself known to people. And so even after humanity rebelled against him, God didn't abandon his creation, didn't abandon us to confusion and darkness, but he kept speaking. And that's what Hebrews is reminding of us of when he says, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times and in various ways. If you think through all the Old Testament stories you heard in Sunday school, and hopefully since then, but God spoke to Abraham and called him to leave his country. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He spoke to Israel at Mount Sinai. He spoke through dreams to Joseph and Daniel. He spoke to the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. He spoke through a donkey. He spoke through visions, angels, lots and lots of ways. God kept speaking over hundreds and hundreds of years. And all of those revelations were doing the same thing. God was making himself known. He was revealing his character, revealing his holiness, his justice, his mercy, his faithfulness, his promises and purposes for the world. You see, when God speaks, he isn't merely passing on information, but he's revealing something of himself. This is who I am. Now, at this point, we might become fascinated by all the different ways in which God has spoken. Donkeys, burning bushes. But that's not actually the main point of what Hebrews 1 is trying to say. The writer isn't drawing our attention primarily to the methods God used in the past, but he's drawing our attention to the God who speaks. Because before we can understand how God speaks now, I think it's helpful to first know who that God is, has always been, a speaking God. Now, before we move on, I just want to pause here for a second and allow us to marvel at that truth, that the God who created the universe has not remained silent. He didn't create a world, wind it up, and walk away. He didn't leave humanity to figure out through guesswork. He didn't leave us stumbling in the dark. Again and again, he took the initiative. He spoke. He revealed himself. Again and again, he came near. Because God is not just powerful, but he is intrinsically relational and delights in making himself known. And so that means when we come to the question of guidance, we shouldn't start from the assumption that God is hiding from us. We shouldn't picture a God who is reluctant to communicate. We shouldn't picture him playing some cosmic game of hide and seek while we desperately are trying to find out what he's saying. Rather, the story of the Bible is of a God who continuously pursues being known, a God who speaks. And that's exactly where the writer takes us next. If God has spoken in so many ways throughout history, how does he speak through people today? So if point one showed us that God has always been speaking, point two shows us the greatest way he has spoken. God has spoken finally through his Son. If we look at verse 2 again, it says this, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Do you notice the contrast there in those two verses we read? In the past, God spoke, but in these last days, he has spoken. The writer is dividing all of history into two great eras. There was the age of the promise, and now there is the age of fulfillment. The age of preparation, and now the age of completion. Now, I don't want us to misunderstand what he's saying. He's not saying that what God said in the past was wrong or unimportant. It's quite the opposite, in fact. God really did speak through the prophets. Those words were God's words, but they were never intended to be the final or the full word. That's why God kept sending more prophets. Isaiah spoke, then Jeremiah, then Ezekiel, then Daniel, then others after them. God spoke at many times and in various ways because the story wasn't finished. The picture was still being painted. The puzzle was not yet complete. But then in verse 2 he says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Now why is that so different? Well, primarily, it's because the Son is so different. Verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. The prophets could tell people about God, but Jesus shows us God. The prophets spoke God's words, but Jesus is God's eternal Son. The prophets revealed God truly, but Jesus reveals God fully, the exact representation. But Hebrews is also actually saying something far more and far stronger than just that. Jesus isn't just merely a representative of God. He isn't simply the greatest messenger God has sent. He is God himself. Not only is he the heir of all things, as verse 2 says, but through him the universe was made. And not only that, not only did he make it, but he's sustaining it, all things by his powerful word. And having provided purification for our sins, he is now seated at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. No prophet created the world, sustains the world. No prophet died to save the world. And no prophet rules over it. Jesus is in an entirely different category. And that's why Jesus says in John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And it's why Paul says in Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know God's character, look at Jesus. If you want to know God's heart towards sinners, look at Jesus. Because in Jesus, God didn't just send a messenger, but he's revealed himself. The prophets pointed forward to God's rescue, the rescue which Jesus accomplished. The prophets announced the King, who is Jesus. The prophets promised a Savior, who Jesus is. And that is why Jesus is God's final word. Not because God has nothing left to say, but because in Jesus, God has fully revealed himself and fully accomplished his salvation. What greater revelation could there be than the eternal Son becoming human, dying for our sins, rising again, and reigning at God's right hand? Now, as winter has approached and the nights get longer, the days get shorter, we've had much more opportunity to see the moon and the stars as the darkness gets ever earlier. Now, it's beautiful to see that change in landscape. In the moonlight, you can see the outline of the trees, the path that's wet from rain glistening in front of you. It's enough sometimes to even walk around without a torch. And for thousands of years, people traveled by moonlight, worked by moonlight, admired its beauty. The moon gives real light. But when morning comes, when the sun begins to rise, suddenly everything changes. The moon that looked so bright during the night becomes almost invisible. Not because there's anything wrong with it, but because the sun is infinitely greater. In fact, the moon was only ever borrowing the sun's light, reflecting it down to us. The sun has always been the source. And what you can see in the sunlight far surpasses what you could see by the moonlight. The colors, the details, the warmth you feel, what was once seen dimly is now seen clearly. And I think that's something of what Hebrews is saying. For centuries, God spoke through prophets. Their words were true. Their revelation was real. They gave God's light to people. But they only gave us a glimpse, a partial picture, a reflection. And then the Son, Jesus, arrived. And suddenly we were no longer dealing with reflected light. We were looking at radiance itself. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The prophets were like the moonlight, giving a real but limited glimpse. But we're standing now in the presence of the source itself. I think many people spend their life asking questions like, what is God like? Does he care about me? Can I trust him? Is he loving? Is he just? Is he distant and far off? But Hebrews says, if you want those answers, look at Jesus. Not because Jesus is just a helpful guide to God. Not because he's just God's greatest prophet. Not because he gives us better information about God, but because Jesus is the radiance of his glory. When we look at Jesus, we see God revealed. We see his compassion. We hear him speak. Jesus does not merely point us towards God, but he reveals God because he is God. And as Jesus himself says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, some of you here today might not think of yourself as a Christian, as someone who follows Jesus. And can I just say that the central claim of Christianity is not that God wants to give you guidance for your life, but that God has revealed himself to us in Jesus, the Son who came into the world to deal with our biggest problem, our rebellion, our guilt, and our failure to live as God intended. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we deserved, and rose again. Which means Christianity is not ultimately about becoming a better person, making all the right decisions, but it's about being reconciled to a God who loves us, who longs to be in relationship with us. And so the biggest question facing us all is not, what should I do with my life? But rather, what will I do with Jesus? If that is you, can I firstly thank you so much for being here? We love having you here, and you're so welcome. But can I encourage you to pick up one of the Gospels? There are four accounts in the New Testament that talk through Jesus' life, that show you what he said and what he did, so that you can see who Jesus is and what he came to do. And if you'd like to do that, please come and talk to me. I'd love to do that with you or find you a friend to do that alongside. But it's also why we are doing Taste and See, which Andrew spoke of before. Why we are investing time and energy to help you and people just like you see who Jesus is so you can make a decision for yourself. Because if God really did speak through his Son, then nothing is more important than listening to him. Point three, God speaks through Scripture today. Well, I think all of that raises the obvious question. If God's final and fullest revelation is his Son Jesus, how on earth do we hear his Son today? After all, Jesus is not physically here in the room with us. He's not seated next to you. So how do we come to know his Son through whom God has spoken? And that answer brings us to 2 Timothy 3 verse 14. Let's read those verses together. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If point two left us with a question, how do I hear the Son today? Paul gives us the answer here in Timothy. Not through a new prophet, not through a fresh revelation, not through a voice in our head, but through the scriptures. The scriptures make us wise for salvation in Christ. The Bible doesn't merely give us information about Jesus, but it brings us to Jesus. It shows us who he is, why he came, what he accomplished, and enables us to know him personally, to be saved through him. That's why in John 5, Jesus said, "These are the very scriptures that testify about me." The whole Bible ultimately points to Christ, the God who has spoken through his Son, who continues to make his Son known through the scriptures. But Paul goes even further in the passage we read when he says, all scripture is God-breathed. The Bible is not merely human thoughts about God, but it is God's word to us. The God who spoke through the prophets is still speaking today. And that's why Christians have always believed that when the Bible is faithfully read, faithfully taught, that God himself is speaking. Not because the preacher is inspired, not because there's anything magical about the paper and ink in your hands, but because it is God-breathed. As we read the Bible, the Spirit opens our eyes to see Christ more clearly, helps us to trust God's promises, convicts us of sin, and empowers us to obey what he has said. And did you see all that it says Scripture is able to do? To teach, to rebuke, to correct, to train for righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not partially equipped, not mostly equipped, thoroughly equipped. If Scripture thoroughly equips God's people for every good work, what is it missing? What crucial piece of guidance has God forgotten to give us? Paul's point is that God has provided everything we need to know him, everything we need to trust him, to follow him, to live for him. That is why we talk about the sufficiency of Scripture. Not because the Bible tells us everything. It won't tell you what toothpaste to buy. It won't tell you whether to eat Weet-Bix tomorrow morning. But it tells you everything God intends you to know in order to know him, to follow him, and to live a godly life. It tells us who God is, who we are, and it tells us what really matters. And because it does all that, we can live with confidence. We're not left desperately searching for another word from God. We're not left wondering whether God has spoken. He has. And he continues to speak to us through his Son in his word. Which brings us back to all this junk I brought at the start. Most Christians aren't making life decisions through a magic eight ball, or I pray they aren't. But sometimes we're not far off. We look for the signs, we look for the feelings, the circumstantial evidence. We ask for confirmation, for one more nudge, one more indication. All the while God says, I have already spoken. Paul said Scripture was able to make us wise for salvation. It teaches, it rebukes, it guides, it trains us. Now, I suspect for some of us, the problem isn't that God hasn't spoken. The problem is that we're often looking for a different kind of speech, a sign, a dream, a vision, something more fascinating, more tailor-made, a special message just for us, something that removes all uncertainty. That God says, I have spoken. And I think often the reason we're looking for another word is because we don't particularly want to listen to what he has already said. We want guidance about tomorrow. ignoring what God has said about today. We want fresh revelation while neglecting the revelation we've already received. We want answers about our future while we overlook things God has already made abundantly clear. That we are to love our neighbor, that we are to forgive others, put Christ first, flee sexual immorality, make disciples trust his promises. The problem is not that God has failed to speak, but that we often want a different one or just don't want to hear it. One that tells us what course to study, where to work, or who to marry, while demanding less of us than the son God has given us. But I think Hebrews reminds us that God has not left us in the dark. He has spoken through his son and through his word. And the question for us is whether we are willing to listen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are not a God who is far off, and that you're not a God who has remained silent, but that actually all throughout history, you have been making yourself known. You have been coming into our world, your creation, in order to reveal yourself to us, to reveal your purposes for us. And even when we ignore or reject you, you have kept persisting in love and in grace. We thank you mostly for how you've revealed yourself through Jesus. And we praise you for your word through which you continue to make him known, and by your Spirit, which you reveal the truth there to shape our hearts, our lives, and our minds. Please help us to cling to these truths all our lives. Amen. Now,